Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, and I believe it's the 19th of April, 2024. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in Bill's story, page 14, that fifth paragraph, and we're just reading that paragraph, starting with why I lay in the hospital and ending with they in turn might work with others. All right, our readers today, we have Tenzin P. for the steps, Jim F. for the traditions, starting off with the text is Amory M., reading page 164 is Marge O. The backup readers were Mona A., newcomer greeters Pam S. R., second hour host is Karen K., and announcements is Kathy S. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, April 18th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,327. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,328. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. Neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. So I've asked Tenzin P. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up with the 12 traditions is Jim F.
Hi, this is Jim F. from Illinois. These are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
All right, Jim, thanks a lot, my man. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're starting back up, resuming in Bill's story, page 14, the fifth paragraph, beginning with, while I lay in the hospital, and it ends with, they in turn might work with others. And I've asked Anne-Marie M. to start us off today with the reading.
Good morning, Russ. Thanks for your reading. And good morning, everyone. My name is Anne-Marie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace and by working steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. While I lay in the hospital, the thought came that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have what have been so freely given to me. Perhaps I could help some of them. They, in turn, might work with others. And I have a note here that says that this is Bill's personality change, and certainly because, you know, a few pages ago or earlier in his life, it was all about Bill and how he could get attention and admiration from others. And now, all of a sudden, he's thinking of maybe he could help someone else. Throughout this book, there's three places in particular that I could think of the top of my head where it says that it's so important to help others. And the first one is the forward to the third edition. The last sentence says, each day somewhere in the world, recovery begins when one alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. And then in, where else? In the doctor's opinion, yeah, right from the very start, he talks about in the course of his third treatment, meaning Bill being at the hospital there, he required certain ideas concerning a possible means of recovery. As part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics, impressing upon that they must do likewise still with still others. And then the other one is on page 77. Our primary purpose is to be of maximum service to God and to the people about us. And that's from my memory. Sorry. Yeah, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. So I believe that I was made to be of service to other people. However, when I was in my disease, I was so very self-centered. And I remember when it was that I became unself-centered, if that's a word. It was when my first AA sponsor had suggested to me to call someone and ask how she was doing and to see if I could help her. And I hadn't even been through the steps yet. And I was about a year sober, believe it or not, and I was like a dry drunk. And I thought, I had my own problems. I thought, how could I be helpful to her? And I called her, and I felt a light within me come on that I was able to listen to her and hear what was going on with her. And it was such a wonderful feeling that I could be of service to someone else. That was a miracle. I've had many miracles in my life, and you know, I read this paragraph this morning before we started, and I was trying to think, when was it, and that I realized that the importance of me helping time. Other people, and when it came to me, and it was then. So I pass. Thanks.
All right, Anne-Marie, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. So, although we value experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. If you share to Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. Obviously, I didn't say we were going to share, but you know what time of the meeting it is. Everybody's going to share. So just take it easy on me one at a time. All right, who wants
Kelly,
to share?
Yeah.
Kelly.
Larry K.
Rachel K.
Rachel.
Loretta H.
Loretta.
Ariel B. Pennsylvania.
Sheila from Michigan.
Is it Kayla?
Sheila.
Sheila. Sheila. And what's the first initial of your last name?
S.
Sheila S. from Michigan. All right. Come on, we'll take some more. Let's go.
Bonnie B. from Florida.
Bonnie B.
Veronica C.
Veronica.
Lauren B.
Lauren B. I think that's pretty good for the first round. We got Kelly S., Larry K., Rachel K., Loretta H., Ariel B, Sheila S, Bonnie B, Veronica C, Lauren B. All right, Kel, you're up.
Hey, guys. Hey, Russ. Thanks for taking the meeting. Kelly S, recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Grateful to be here and getting to share on this paragraph. The thing that really stood out to me is he says, while I lay in the hospital, the thought came. So Bill wasn't doing the thinking, the thought came. And to me, that was God. God came to Bill and the thought came to Bill. And that's the thing I have to remember, God does the changing. I love the lead share talking about this is Bill's change. We go from selfishness to selflessness, but God does that changing. It's like God gives me neutrality with food. God changes my heart. God helps me get out of this selfishness that I've lived in my whole life. And it's huge. My sponsor told me from the very beginning, one of the requirements to work with her was that I had to be willing to take people through the work, not just sponsor. And I like to say that because nowhere in the book does it actually say the word sponsor. It tells us intensive work with others, taking people through this work. Like Bill was talking, Bill didn't know there was sponsor, the word. And I say that from my own experience, because before my relapse, I had two sponsees, and basically they were just checking in, right? And I justified it going, I'm sponsoring. And, when I really look back, I hadn't taken anybody through the work in 2 years, because I don't know about you guys, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to take people through the work, right? But that's what helps. That's what gets us well. That's what keeps us well, right? And that's what I have to remember, you know, all the time. It's that, you know, Anne-Marie talked about, you know, our purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service. And, you know, my sponsor says this, I say this, I didn't want that to be my purpose, right? I thought, you know, I was doing this work to get abstinent, to get food neutrality, to get a normal body weight, to have peace with my body for once, right? Well, that all comes, and that's great and wonderful. The real thing is, some powerful shares yesterday about it, was I'm doing this work so that I can, you know, carry this message to the still suffering compulsive overeater, and that's what's going to work. You know, Bill tells us later in the next page or so that when all other measures fail, all other measures, that's huge. So when I'm wanting to eat or I'm feeling depressed or I'm feeling overwhelmed, get out of myself, right? The thought came. God said, Bill, get out of yourself and help somebody else. God saying, Kelly, get out of yourself, help somebody else. That's going to be the solution. You know, I did this work, and today I'm so grateful my sponsor had that requirement, and I require that of other people, and I make it clear, intensive work with others will save the day when all other measures fail. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Russ.
Thanks, Kel. Appreciate it. Next up is Larry K.
Hey, Russ. Good morning. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Good morning. Morning, everyone. So we're reading here. So the thought comes to Bill that he might help. Look, he was given a reprieve. He was given release here. And the thought comes to him. Where does that thought come from him? Well, you know, there was no 12 steps at this point, right? There wasn't a practical program of spiritual action in AA. There was no AA at this point, really. But what it was he came from the Oxford Group folks, and they had a the Oxford Group held that its members needed to engage and work with others in order to change the helper's life. That's the spiritual imperative. So this was the essential principle. I mean, if you think about it, it led from, you know, Roland Hazard, knew to carry this message to Ebby. Didn't know if it would have any effect, but it did. And then Ebby then carried the message to Bill to save his own skin, right? Bill to Dr. Bob, and then you to me, you know? And this is how it goes. And so Bill had this thought, but it was, you know, where have we gotten sidetracked from this imperative? You know, when did we abdicate our responsibility to carry this message to others as a means of saving our own life? If you're not an alcoholic, if you're not a compulsive reader, let's say you don't have the allergy, you don't have the twist of the mind, you get to diagnose yourself. Do you have the allergy? Do you have the twist of the mind? Then only a spiritual transformation will give you access to power that will relieve that obsession. If you're not that, you might not need to carry the message. I mean, it's still probably nice to do, but you might not need to, right? But I know for me, I know what I was doing this morning, you know, years ago, 6:17 here in Chicago. Well, 2 hours before, an hour before, I was at the Panera. I was the first one in line. I had a message to carry. I didn't know I was carrying a message, but I'll tell you what I was carrying. I was carrying a bag of a dozen bagels and a loaf of whatever and all kinds of nonsense out every day after day after day. I was carrying something, you know, but it wasn't this message, and there was no freedom for me. There was no freedom, and I hated myself. I was sharing with a fellow this morning. Do you know, I think I'm glad I'm just talking to you, Russ, but I used to cut little strips of my jeans, you know, to fit around my big fat waist, you know, to stretch it out a little bit. Boy, was that freedom, let me tell you. Boy, did I walk around feeling good about myself. Boy, was that. It's so much easier today. Like Bill, I can carry a message. I don't know what the outcome will be, but I can help others. I can try. I don't know if I'm of help to anybody on this line. I don't know if I'm helped to anybody I work intensively with, but I can certainly try, and it saves my ass, saves my skin, saves my bacon, so I don't have to eat bacon. You know, and that's quite a deal. That's quite a deal, brother. All right, so I'm going to keep doing it, Russ. All right, thanks. Pass.
Brother, I sympathize with you on that, bud. All right, next up is, thanks, Larry. Rachel K., followed by Loretta H.
Thanks, Russ. This is Rachel K., recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana, and I kind of wish I hadn't said my name because the opening share and the past couple of shares have just been really awesome, and I don't know if I have anything to add, but I'll give it a shot. It occurred to me when this paragraph was read this morning, like, I owe my life to this paragraph. Like, this one paragraph, I owe my life to God and to the fact that God gave Bill this thought of carrying the message. Because Bill could have, like, had this experience and then written a book and been like, hey, you know, My Spiritual Experience by Bill W. And that was it, you know. And probably he wouldn't have stayed sober, right? Because we know that the key to his sobriety is, or maintaining his sobriety and his spiritual condition, was that he carried the message. So I owe my life to this paragraph in a couple of ways, because if Bill hadn't gotten help, Bob sober, and then they told two friends and so on and so on and so on, like the old shampoo commercial used to say, then that would not have been passed down to me in the form of a different program, but similar, that a woman named Roseanne started called Overeaters Anonymous. So, and also I owe my life because, working with others, self-sacrifice is what saves me. Just like other people can afford to eat sugar or flour or whatever, and I can't, other people can afford to live lives that are not unselfish. But I can't afford to. Like, it's not just a nice thing that I do because I want to be a good person. You know, that too, I like to think, but also working with others is what saves my life every single day. Self-centeredness, self-centered fear is at the root of my problem. And the less I can get out of self, I'm doomed. And not just working with others, other compulsive overeaters, although that's a huge part of it. And oh my gosh, I learned so much from my sponsees. I mean, really, people out there who are struggling, if you think that you are being a pain in the ass when you call, I'm sorry, this is recorded, a pain in the butt when you call people or you're struggling, you're not, you're helping them. They're giving people an opportunity to maintain their sobriety. But also being of service to my family, to people in my life. Tomorrow I'm getting ready to travel to see some family and also some friends. Oh, and that's my time. Please God, help me to remember that that is what will save me from self-centeredness, is to try to be of service to them. So anyway, thanks a lot for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Rachel. Appreciate it. Next up is Loretta H., followed by Ariel B.
Good morning, Russ, and good morning, all. Along with my precious God, you are saving my life. Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. He talks about being hopeless, and that I find the dash in the first step is I am hopeless, but I'm not helpless. And that means, because I'm not helpless, I actually know how to help too, and which I didn't in my old life in the food. But before we even get to working with others, the last line in working with others is faith without works is dead, and that we must continue the work. And in this book, as the first share, it's 124 times before we even get to working with others that it makes the point of us making this as Bob says, sense of duty. It's a pleasure because in so doing, I'm paying the debt to the man who took time to sit on to me, because every time I do take out a little more insurance for myself against that possible slip of maximum service to God and to others. And ironically, this morning I do two-way prayer in the morning, and it was on James 2 with faith without works is dead. So God is always there telling me how to do this if I am willing to listen and to put that on my heart first thing in the morning. So if I surrender, I can hear it all day long. And this program is about just giving me the opportunity to be a better Loretta in each day. And it's because of the steps, it's because of the principles, it's because you guys are helping me. And for the newcomer, please, please keep coming back, because it works when you work it. And that's what we do. And we get to carry this message and not the mess. And with that, I pass. God bless you all. Have a great day.
Thanks, Loretta. Appreciate it. All right, before Ariel jumps on, let me let you know where we're at. We are in Bill's story, page 14, that fifth paragraph, starting with, wow, I lay in the hospital, and it's ending with, they in turn might work with others. All right, Ariel, you are up. I hope I pronounced the name properly.
Ariel B. from Pennsylvania, from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm very grateful to be here. And in fact, couldn't be happier. I just got off the bus. I started a new job a week ago after being so overweight that I couldn't even work. I was stuck in a chair. And I'm working and working on my feet. And this is my first day after several days of missing the meeting that I decided to get on while on the bus. And I couldn't have heard a better paragraph. While lying there in the hospital, the thought dawned on me that there were thousands of other hopeless, compulsive eaters who could benefit from this that I've been so freely given. Or I'm paraphrasing, the book is back in my backpack. It's amazing. I'm powerless. The one solution that's going to keep my hide safe and stop me from having another relapse is helping other people. That's the one thing that's going to save me, is helping others, carrying this message. What? Give yourself, admit that you're powerless, that God can help you. Clear away the garbage, getting away the resentments, the fears, the dishonesty. You help others. Put God in control. It's just amazing. Carry the message. Thank you so much for this meeting. Thank you, everybody, for your wonderful shares. You all have a fantastic day. Thanks for being here.
All right. Thank you. Sorry about that. I got sidetracked there. Next up is, I believe, Sheila S.
Hi, Sheila. And I just moved to Florida. I'm so used to saying Sheila from Michigan. Thank you, everybody, for your service. So what this reading means to me, it reminds me when I first came into the program and I was detoxing off of my red light foods and I was on an emotional roller coaster ride. It was horrible. I had about, 3 to 5 days of hell is what it felt like I was going to die. And I kept calling people and, I didn't like the responses. I didn't feel like people could hear me. They just wanted me to be fixed and be better. And then I called a woman who had more issues than I did and was working the program and abstinent. And all of a sudden, I started focusing on her and asking her questions about herself and realizing, this woman needed support. And everything shifted in that moment for me. I was able to pull out of my thinking, my self-pity, self-absorbed space in that moment and support that other woman in the program. Even though she was trying to support me, everything shifted in that moment. And that just changed my life. And so I'm working on calling and supporting the newcomers and being there for other people now because it really works. So thanks everybody for your service and thank you for sharing.
Thanks, Sheila. Next up, we got Bonnie B, followed by Veronica C. We got that Florida contingent coming in here. I want that beautiful weather, 90 degrees.
It's only 72 right now, but yes, heading toward. Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B, in the state of Florida, recovered by the grace of God for the next 20 seconds. You know, the shares had been over the top amazing this morning, but some of the things that jumped out to me was, again, the thought came to me. I know that if a thought comes to me and it's an unselfish thought, it's from God because my base was selfish. Everything within me always goes back to what I want so I can have the Hallmark movie, so I can have the once upon a time happily ever after. All roads start there and all roads end there unless God intervenes. This is why I get to give my every second to God on a daily basis, because the only way that I'm going to be free, and someone talked about that freedom from all of it. And I came in thinking it was freedom from the number on the scale, freedom from the compulsive overeating. Those are add-ons. It's freedom in my head to be a maximum service to God and other people. I can't do that when I'm having selfish and self-seeking thoughts. And my brain can only house one thing at a time. It's either me or it's someone else. And so I selfishly did not share on these phone lines for a long time until I had a sponsor say, you know, it's really selfish to not push star one. It's really selfish to sit in the background for a long time. And why didn't I want to share? Because of image management. What are people going to think? And what if it sounds stupid and blah, 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 blah. And again, it was all about me and not inviting God into the situation. So this is a transformation that takes place, and little by little, you know, hopefully more of God, less of me, right? Which means I'm more focused on other people and letting God take care of all the rest of my world. It's the place of greatest joy. It's the place of peace, and there's no pressure because it says I might be able to help them. I don't even have to concern myself as to whether or not they get the help that I want them to have. That's about me again. I just get to release it to God, you know, fit myself by working the tools and the steps to be of maximum service to Him, and then go about my daily business always looking for Him. You know, I start my day with, God, please help me to see people as you see them, to think the same thoughts that you think about people, to believe only what you believe about them today, so I can look like you and sound like you and think like you and imitate you. And so that's my desire, but I can't do that in myself because I'm pretty selfish. And I think that's what I wanted to share. And thanks again for your service, everyone. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bonnie. Next up is Veronica C., followed by Lauren B.
Thank you, Russ. Veronica C. from New York. Wow. You know, it's like this section of the big book, they're all so, all the paragraphs are so great. But prior to this, Bill was talking about the feeling of ecstasy, the Father of Light, God consciousness, and all of the feelings that come about when there is this incredible transformation through something that is greater than him. And he actually became slightly afraid because he was questioning his sanity, and then the thought came to him all of a sudden that other people he could help somehow or other through what had happened to him. And I know that when I had been involved with OA for many years, and it was just rote, and I just did it, and I didn't really even understand it, I wasn't embedded in it, I didn't have the God consciousness that was really such a part of this program. It is really the crux of the program. But when I finally had that experience through studying the big book deeply, as I did, and through the mentors that I've had, and I finally had that awakening, there is nothing like it. I understood completely what Bill was going through because I had that sense of wondering, oh my gosh, you know, is this really real? Is this really happening? And even though, yes, I knew that God was a part of it, I really now had it in part of all of my, had that aspect of God in all of my cells of my being. It was no longer just in my head or just in a part of me. It was like incorporated in all of who I am. So thinking about him lying in that bed and wondering and knowing that, you know, eventually he was going to get out and give this to other people, to me, that's the transformation. And that's the part of this program that is very exciting, because each and every single time that I work with someone, I get so much out of it, because there's always a new perspective in somebody else. And somebody else, as we talk about the program, as we talk about the big book, as we ruminate about God, so much becomes bubbling up to the surface to really latch on to and to take in our heart. And working with somebody else, that's the heart connection. That's the love connection. And that's really what, in my opinion, what has really helped me. And that's what God is all about for me.
Sorry.
Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Veronica. Next up is Lauren B. And then we're going to take another list.
Hi, this is Lauren B. from Recovered Compulsive Overeater from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. I'm so grateful to be here this morning and for all of you. This is the first time that I've actually spoken on these calls. I joined OA in June of 2023, so it's been 10 months that I've benefited from this program and am now living and experiencing the promises every day. I had made up my mind when I joined OA that I'd become a sponsor at the one-year mark. And just within the last couple of weeks, as I have been working on figuring out how to work the program into my life and feel that I've got now a program that works for me and is helping me to stay in recovery and experience the promises fully, that I have felt that me carrying my message to my fellows is falling short. And as I've been praying and including in my daily prayers, that take away my perfectionism and relieve me of my need to control and help me truly surrender to you, my higher power, I realized I wasn't being honest and realized that that very phrase I made up my mind that I wouldn't sponsor for until the year mark, that it wasn't going to be perfect, that I wasn't going to come in as a first-time sponsor and know how to do everything, and that I needed to let go of that and be willing and open to carry my message and trust that God is going to use me and how he would use me to serve others, and that really it's needed for my own recovery, and that that's what's to really fully be able to follow the steps I need to be able to take that step. So I wanted to speak up. I've been consuming Vision for You recordings since day two of my OA journey, and I feel like I know all of you. So it's wonderful to be here today and to participate with all of you live. And with that, I'll pass.
All right, Lauren, thanks a lot. Keep it rolling. Keep on coming. All right, so let me let you know where we're at. We are in Bill's story, page 14, fifth paragraph, why I lay in the hospital, and ending with they in turn might work with others. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. Who would like to share? We could take about five shares.
Rivka M. from Baltimore.
Joanne P.
Lisa B. from Michigan.
Joanne.
Sherry L.
Lisa, is that one second? Joel Lisa B.
Seema P.
Okay, hold on. Lisa, there was someone after Lisa B. I did
Toby
hear a Seema. Toby.
Seema? Oh,
Seema. Okay, that's. I think that's where we're going to have to stop today. If there's time, you got it. We'll keep it open. All right, Rivka, Joanne, I didn't get your first initial last name. We'll get that after. Lisa B., Toby M., and Seema P. Rivka, you're all right. You're up. You're up.
Thank you so much. Can I be heard?
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you. This is Rivka M. from Baltimore, Maryland. And just thank you all for being here and for the meetings. There were two things specifically that jumped out at me that I just wanted to share about. The first one was just while I lay in the hospital. And what struck me about that is that now he has, he's had this awakening and he's had God come to him. And right while he's still lying there in the hospital, he's realizing, I need to go and help other people. I need to give this away. I need to work this with other people. And knowing that that's going to help him. And he's not saying like, well, this is pretty good. Let me get back into my life and let me see how this goes. And then I'll start thinking about, other people. It's like, while he's still laying in that hospital bed, he knows that he needs to right away, give what he's been given, So that's just something that really struck me. Because, I feel like when you work through the steps and you get to that step 12, it's like, let me just solidify things more, But it's like, and like someone was saying about the perfectionism, but, if you've had that awakening and you've had that spiritual experience and you know that you're giving away God's message and not your own, then, for me, it's like, don't wait, just go. And that's how I'm going to stay healthy and stay well. And the other thing was at the end of the paragraph, and it just says, they in turn might work with others. I just like that he has the sight that it's not just like, oh, I can help somebody else and, then I've helped somebody, and that'll be good for me. Like, he's recognizing that by him helping somebody else and they continuing and that just keep going, like, he's helping a tremendous amount of people. Like, he obviously more than he would ever probably be imagining. But the same is true for me, I can help somebody and then they can go and help somebody else. And just to be able to see that, from the get-go and realize, just how powerful it is. So just really grateful for that, grateful that he had that thought, that God gave him that thought, and that we're all here today. So thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
All right. Thank you, Rivka. Next up is Joanne. I think it's Joanne B., I think.
Good morning, Ross. This is Joanne C. from Montreal, Canada. Thank you.
Yep.
Grateful, recovered, compulsive reader by God's grace and mercy. Wow. So grateful. In my addiction, I had many thoughts. I had many, many thoughts. Thoughts of fear. Thoughts of how I was going to organize my binges. Thoughts of how and what I did to myself and others. My thoughts were infused in addiction, self-centeredness, self-seeking, and so forth. Here we see the beginning of the continuous miracle. Bill is transformed. He's lying in the hospital in a bed, in silence. And a thought comes to him, a thought that is infused by the power of God. We see the beginning of a beautiful relationship between God and Bill. And the fruit is this wonderful fellowship that I call God's playground, to help others. I mean, he's in the hospital. Usually when we're healing our wounds or we're in the hospital, we think about ourselves. Here he starts thinking about others. He starts living the principles, the spiritual principles that keep us in God's playground and protection. I owe a lot to this fellowship. How I pay my debt to those who came before me is I sponsor, and I love sponsoring because at the end of the day, I cannot forget that I am a compulsive overeater. The difference is it does not define me or own me anymore today. Thank you, God. But I need to remember. And how do I keep remembered? Is by sharing the message of recovery with someone else. Because in every story, in every sponsoring, I hear something new. That is the miracle. That is the power of this God I choose to call God. That nothing, absolutely nothing, the darkest recesses of our hearts are used to shine light to someone else. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Joanne. Next up is Lisa B. followed by Toby M.
Hi, this is Lisa B., recovered compulsive overeater from Michigan.
All right.
Can I be heard?
Oh, yeah, perfectly.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, everybody that shared already. This has been slapping me in the face this morning. I've had some issues recently, and my sponsor has got me working all kinds of homework, and I'm so grateful to her that she has not been a thief in the night or a coaster like I've been. I had insecurity about the correct way to direct others and help other people, and so didn't do it, did the minimum required as far as trying to help other people and rationalize and justified because I was sponsoring people in other programs. But if I don't do the work here, I'm not going to get the rewards here. And I don't know. I can't even say. I'm so grateful that I'm still abstinent and look forward to the privilege of being able to, and the responsibility of being able to carry the message to others in this program. I'll keep coming back and listen and take direction. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thanks, Lisa. Appreciate it. Next up is Toby.
Yes.
Toby W. And followed by Seema P.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. This is Toby W. from Boston. And as I'm listening to everybody, I'm thinking to myself what happened to me just the other day. I've been sponsoring this woman, I think it's 3 months, maybe 4 months. And what came to me was the honor, excuse me, of seeing her grow, of seeing the difference in her from day one that I started with her to just recently. The growth that she has had has been an honor. And I do this not only to help her, yes, I get a lot out of it, but the honor that God has given me because I am a food addict. And I have been given the miracle, and I'm passing it along through God. It's God. It's not me. It's God. And I pass it along, and it is such an honor. And that's what I wanted to share. And with that, I pass.
All right. Thank you, Toby. Next up is Seema P. And we'll see if we have time for another. Star one, Seema.
Can you hear me? Sorry, I'm having trouble.
There we go. We got you. Perfect.
All right. Thanks so much. Thanks for your service, Ross. Seema P. from Rhode Island, gratefully recovered for today. So the big book says, you know, spiritual life isn't a theory. We have to live it. And the word that came to my mind was altruism. And in the doctor's opinion, it talks about, a doctor talks about, you know, we found nothing which has contributed to the rehabilitation of these men than the altruistic movement now growing up upon them. And so I looked up the definition of altruism, and it's the belief in or practice of disinterested and selfless concern for the well-being of others. And apparently, you know, Bill must have recognized the power of Ebby helping him. The Big Book doesn't exactly say it that way, but he talks about helping others and giving them what was so graciously given to him. So, you know, it goes on in the Big Book, and it talks about, you know, how these men, you know, believe in themselves and still more in the power which pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. And, you know, how brilliant of Bill, you know, and how divinely inspired that was to recognize the power of working with others and to pay it forward and pass it on to others, knowing that there are probably thousands and thousands of people out there that need the help. And so I need to work my program the same way, because nothing ensures immunity as intensive work with others. I need to keep growing my spiritual life, and working with others and helping others, guiding them through the steps, is one of the most spiritual parts of my program. I was afraid to sponsor for a long time, and I heard someone on this line say, you know, you're not afraid to sponsor, you're afraid to sponsor perfectly, and that was true for me. So when I'm working with other people and we read about altruism, I suggest to them, you know, hey, get excited about your own recovery, but more so get excited about helping someone else who is right where you are right now and that needs your help. And so that's what I wanted to share today. Thanks for hearing me, Russ, and wishing everyone a great day.
Bye. All right, thanks, Seema. I think we might be able to get one more in there. Let's do one more. Who wants it?
Vanessa G.
All right, Vanessa, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. My name is G, and I am a compulsive overeater recovered in New Mexico this morning. And I'm full of gratitude. I love this paragraph. It's such a beautiful example of, you know, where my recovery starts and where it all started with Bill. It was, you know, inspiration born out of gratitude. And gratitude is obvious, you know, I freely given to me. I stop in wonderment at what has been given to me. And out of that gratitude, out of that freedom, out of that gift, comes inspiration, comes the ability to actually want to turn around and pass it on. And I both of them are wonderful gifts, and I'm so grateful that Bill cleared his mind just enough to receive that inspiration to turn around and help other alcoholics. I don't know if, well, I do know. That's the one thing that has always been missing. You know, during my relapses and during my struggles in this program, what was missing was my ability to turn around and pass this on. And I am so grateful for the opportunity now to do that. It is the wellspring of my recovery. It is a measure of my gratitude. And what you guys have given to me here, may I always be grateful enough to pass it on. Thank you so much for letting me share this morning.
All right, Vanessa. Thank you, Vanessa, for sharing. Thank you, everybody that shared. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour study immediately following the closing. So today's share ID for Friday, the 19th of April, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,330. That's 21330. All right. Now we'll close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by a serenity prayer. Marjo, will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you.
Thank you. Sorry.
You're great.
Okay. Majo from Massachusetts. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I pass.